You're listening to Writing Snippets, the podcast about writing. Your hosts for today are...
Alice.
Jocelyn.
Lily.
Mark.
Lauren.
Ava.
This is episode 14.
The world of publishing and authoring is changing at an incredible rate, from Pride and Prejudice all the way to Twilight, and from Charles Dickens' serialized novels to ebooks. We're seeing and experiencing an entirely new kind of market today, and as a newer author... Mark Forman has joined us today. He's the author of the Adventurers Wanted series, and he has some experiences that we would love to hear about. So first, can you tell us a little bit about your books?
Okay, the books are a series. There's two of them right so far, and it's called Adventurers Wanted, obviously. Book one is called Slathbog's Gold, which is the story of a 14-year-old boy who wanders into what he thinks is a bookshop that turns out to be an adventure shop, and gets pulled into a adventure to hunt down and kill a big mean dragon. And on the way, he discovers things about himself and that he has the potential to become a wizard. And then book two, which is a continuation, it's the next adventure, basically, is called The Horn of Moran. And in this story, our young adventurer gets to go back on another trip with some of his friends and some new friends from his first adventure, and they're trying to find the magical Horn of Moran, which will prove who the true king of the land called Illusia is, so that they can avoid a civil war. And so it's basically just all fun and adventures.
Well, wonderful.
Yeah, they're very, very cool. Do you suggest people starting with the first one and then continue from there? Because they
I think they're kind of written to be standalone,
right.
But some of the things that happen in the first one are referenced later. Mm-hmm. And so it might help to follow the story if you read the first one first, but you don't have to.
It's nice to have the explanation at the beginning of how the main character gets into the magical land, and then it's
yeah, because he doesn't start out in a magical land. He starts out in a normal land. Though I never said it was Earth, everybody just assumes that it's somewhere on Earth.
I thought it was specifically London.
No, it never says.
Wow.
And everybody assumes, oh, it's somewhere in Earth, and it sounds like London. It could be Boston, it could be San Francisco, but I never actually say where he's from.
Mm-hmm. I want one of the bags. I want a couple of bags.
Ooh.
Everybody.
Yes. Yeah, magic bags.
Yeah, if I could figure...
you need to explain the bags for our
listeners. No, they have to go read the book.
They have to go read the book.
There's just really cool bags.
Really
know
cool
that.
Bags.
Well, yeah, everybody has asked for one of those bags, and if I could figure out how to make it work, I'd be a millionaire.
You would.
Easily.
Oh,
easily.
Oh, yeah. They could sell them as... part of the book.
That's right.
That would be
an adventurer bag.
An adventurer's bag.
Very expensive book.
Well, you're paying for the bag. The book is free.
But the book is a side issue.
Well, we want to talk a little bit about your journey to become a published author. So at what point in your life did you decide to become a writer?
That's a tough question to answer. I mean, I've always written stories and always, had the big imagination and different things. I think I first started really seriously writing probably about 10 years ago, and it's kind of grown from there.
You're not an overnight success story?
No,
hey,
I don't.
10 years is an overnight success story.
For some people, that is overnight. The first book I started writing, I believe, was in early 2002. The book actually got written in 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
And then it took the next 6 or 7 years to edit it and have the courage to send it to somebody to get published. It was more of a, I don't know if I want to do this at this point, send it to, because it's a big step to send something in to get published and told,
you suck.
You're garbage. Yeah. Please don't send anything else here ever, unless you're sending us money and an apology.
So how did you finally work up the courage?
You just get to a point where it's like, I have to do something with it or stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't stop at that point. I was addicted to writing. So it's like, well, I better try and do something with it.
How many books did you finish before you got published?
I believe the first 5 were in the series were completely written before it was accepted for publication, and then a 6th one got written before it came out, and then I had another book that I'm still working on was also written in that time. So, how many is that? Quick add on your fingers. 6 or 7.
Yeah. When you first decided to start submitting, did you focus on agents or did you submit to publishers that would accept unsolicited manuscripts?
I focused on publishers. The agent thing was and still is kind of a mystery to me. I can see the need and how useful an agent could be. I haven't got one yet, so if any agents are listening out there, well, I better submit to you.
How did you find your publishers that you submitted to?
I submitted to several different ones. That I used, what is that book? Writer's Guide,
mm-hmm.
that lists a lot of publishers, and they're good enough to mention whether they only accept agented submissions or unagented submissions. And so I used that, and I used some information off the internet when I was looking.
Yeah, you can't go just by Writer's Guide mm-hmm. anymore, for those who are listening. You have to actually go to their websites and make sure things haven't changed.
Yeah, it actually works a lot better, because the publishers change from day to day and week to week, it seems. And Writer's Guide only comes out once a year, mm-hmm. so it's tough to keep up.
So you got published with Shadow Mountain, and I know that Shadow Mountain has helped to launch the careers of several national best-selling writers who write the same kind of books, fantasy for young readers, like Brannon Mull and James Dashner. Were those success stories one of the things that drew you to Shadow Mountain, or was it just a lucky coincidence?
I think the Brannon Mull stuff was out when I was submitting, so I knew about Shadow Mountain. James hadn't been published quite yet. I think I submitted just before his first book came out with Shadow mm-hmm. Mountain. But the fact that they were local and that they published what I like to write and didn't require an agent to submit were big reasons why I submitted to them.
How did it feel when you got your first few rejections?
Painful, annoying, makes you want to stop writing altogether and say, oh, I'm crazy, I must just pack this up and give it up.
Did you ever get one in particular that made you just want to quit?
No, I never got anything that was really mean. It was just, you know, more of the form letter, thanks for submitting, but you don't meet our requirements for the time being. And even that, you know, I mean, you've taken so much of your life and you're giving it to somebody, mm-hmm. and just to get that back is kind of like a slap. Mm-hmm. And so if it was really mean, I don't think most publishers ever send out really mean.
They don't have time to be.
They don't have time to be mean. Yeah. They're like, okay, we don't want to accept that. Move on to the next thing.
Yep.
Say thank you and goodbye.
Those form letters are mean enough. I mean,
I'd almost
rather have a personal rejection that said, this is what's wrong with your book, than those nice form letters. Thank you so much for submitting to us.
And you're not worth thinking about, so we're going to give you this thing that we're sending out to everybody else who sent anything to us.
You have to remember, I mean, all the books published every year represents only 3% of books submitted. So... Most people get those form letters, and you know they don't really have time to write even a paragraph to each person who submitted to say.
We all understand that, but
you know,
still.
So it hurts.
Don't like it.
Yeah, you don't have to like it, and it does hurt. But you're a writer now. Grow up.
I want
get
an
tough.
In-depth critique.
Well, online. That's another podcast.
You're gonna have to pay for that.
We're gonna have to get our own publisher. Start our own publishing company if that's what you really want.
Oh, people have done it.
Okay, so when you finally had that happy day that you got your contract, what were some of the biggest surprises that you faced?
Well, the first thing was the people actually offered to pay me to publish my book. Really? I don't believe it. I had to make sure it wasn't a joke from somebody I knew.
Who you're not going to name.
I'm not going to name names. That's sealed forever in the vault. The biggest surprise actually was how long it took from signing a contract to have a book published until the book actually came out as a finished work.
Yeah. Because how long did it take with your first one?
It was almost, I want to say a year, but I think it was a little longer than a year from sign the contract to here's a published book.
And that's pretty standard,
isn't it? I think that's pretty standard. I mean, even now, for the second one, I'd submitted it, and there was some lag time, which we won't go into. But when they decided to publish it, it was still, I think, 8 months of edits, rewrites, mm-hmm. final edits, and then a book. Right. And, you know, they already knew pretty much what needed to be changed at that point. So if I was going in cold, I imagine it would have been at least a year.
So what was it like to work with a professional editor for the first time?
Scary. The professional editor is, they're invaluable. I love my editor. She does a great job. But at times it's like, what? You're insane. You don't know what you're talking about. And, oh, yeah, they're the editor. It's tough because the editor is going to be completely honest with you. And a lot of people sometimes sugarcoat things when they read your stuff or, you know, they just don't like that kind of thing. So they're not going to really say anything because I didn't like it anyway. You know, I don't read fantasy, so why should I critique it? But the editor, you know, a professional editor is going to help you become a better writer. And try and teach you, although some of us are a little slow to learn, what things work and what things just don't work and need to be cut out.
Did you have critique partners before you got the editor?
I did. I belonged to a writer's group, and parts of the book had been submitted to writer's group, never the entire book, because that's too much for one writer's group, I think.
You're in the wrong writer's group.
Hey, it's almost a 400-page book. That's too much for 1 month.
I just gave them all my 400 pages.
We're doing 3 months.
But yeah, it's over 3 months.
You know, you have to break it up, and at that point, it was accepted and not allowed. I did have one person did critique all of them, and that's my niece, who is currently on an LDS mission in Washington State. But she read them all when they got written, and gave her opinion, and that's the one I went by.
Very cool.
Do you feel like having those critiques in advance helped prepare you for the professional experience at all?
I don't know that it helped prepare me. It helped prepare the manuscript.
Yeah.
For the professional experience, because it helped fix things that, you know, I wrote it. I know what I meant. I don't. And when I go back to edit, I know what I meant, so I don't read it as close as I should. And that's something I'm still working on. But it did help make the books better and more acceptable to the publisher and to the editor.
Great. Then we're doing the right thing.
With your editor, do you sometimes not agree with them and then maybe not make the changes they ask for? Or do you discuss it and kind of negotiate? Or how does that work when you don't agree with?
It depends on how strongly I feel about the change. There have been a couple of times where the editors wanted something changed and I absolutely would not change it. Most of the time, fortunately, the editor's choices or problems with the manuscript I agree with. It's like, oh yeah, I should have thought of that myself before. But if there's something that I feel strongly about, they're always willing to work with me. And maybe I just need to reword it a little bit and still get it my way and make them happy as well. But for the most part, there's not been any major conflicts. There were one or two pages in the first book that they wanted some, now that I look back on it, insignificant changes that I just was not willing to give in on. And they let me have my way. So.
Stick it to the man. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll edit that out. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. It's just that you have to be flexible enough to say, you know, the editor knows the business a lot better than I do. They know what works better than I do. So I'm going to listen to what they have to say. And if there's some really important reason why I can't change, you know, X, Y, or Z, then I'll go back and say, hey, this is why I can't change that. Can we do something else? And let's work something out.
Yeah.
So,
I think I'd be more prone to just change it.
Because the editor said so.
Because the editor says so, and maybe it's not always.
And a lot of times that's fine, but you know maybe it's something that that ties in on page 482, and we're on page 20, and if I change it now, I got to go clear back to 482, and the editor didn't think of that, so I don't want to change it, or you know it ties into book 2, and I have to have it there.
Yeah, that makes
so
sense.
So there's certain things you really don't want to change.
Right.
And but a lot of things, it's just like, yeah, okay, they know best.
Did you ever run into situations where an editor asked you to change something, and then you realized that it wasn't the problem they were seeing, wasn't necessarily what they mentioned, but something else that was happening?
I have run into that a few times where it was something either before or I didn't explain well enough at some point, and then they had a problem later that said, oh, well, this doesn't make any sense, or change this because you're talking something we don't understand or know anything about. And it's not really that piece that needs to be changed. It's the explanation earlier. Mm-hmm. Or maybe something, you know, needs to be added to this piece to let the reader know what's really going on. So, yeah, that does happen.
Interesting. Okay, so what have been some of the biggest challenges of being a new author trying to establish your career and build your fan base?
The biggest challenge is self-promotion. I don't like self-promotion. I don't like public speaking. You know, I mean, you're one of, you know, what, 60 to 80,000 new books every year, fiction only, in the United States. How do you make yourself stand out? How do you get people to read your book? Because I don't think anybody reads 60,000 plus books a year. I wouldn't have the time. And I read fast. So, it's the self-promotion is difficult because, I mean, your publisher can do so much, but then you have to be willing to go out and do presentations and do book signings and be kind of a public figure when, you know, I'm a writer, okay? Yeah. I sit behind the computer and type. I don't go out and talk to people. I'm a writer.
Have you had to set up most of those engagements yourself?
Or? Most of the ones I've gone to so far have been set up by the publisher. They've been really good about that. Okay. So hopefully it will continue that way.
Yeah, fingers crossed, right?
Yeah, because it, you know, just, hey, you don't know me, but I want to show up at your bookstore. Yeah, sure you do.
Does that include school visits, too?
School visits,
The publisher sets
The publisher is setting up some school visits for I think, next week. I start doing some. I did the Young Artists and Writers Fest in Logan, I believe they requested me to the publisher, but they still were the ones getting in contact with me and letting me know, hey, these people want you to come and talk to the kids there. So.
Now, tell me about your blog. Were you a blogger before you?
No. I was not a blogger, and I sometimes wonder if I am now. That was set up by Shadow Mountain, the website and the blog site, and they told me at the time that to be considered an active blog, you had to post 2 to 3 times a week.
Wow, that's a lot.
And so
blog.
So mine, I try to do it at least once a week, and I refer to it as an undead blog.
The zombie blog.
And I don't really go, you know, day by day. Here's what I did. You know, here's where I'm going. If there's something coming up, if there's a present, you know, if I'm going to be at a book signing or in an area, you know, I'll put that on the blog and let people in that area know, hey, I'm going to be, you know, wherever, like I'm going to be at the Bountiful Deseret Bookstore for a signing or, you know, whatever. And then most of the time on the blog, I spend answering questions that people have had that I never thought of on the first two books and, you know, trying to fend off that, when's the third one going to be out? We're waiting. And say, well, it's been 2 months.
Well, it's great that you have fans that care so much.
It is great, I appreciate all the fans who do get on the blog or email me from the website, and I read them all. I may not always answer. I try to answer all the questions on the blog, but I do read them all.
Wow, that has a lot of time.
It can be some weeks.
Have you toured out of state?
I have not.
Not yet.
Not yet. We're hopeful.
So what do you love the most about being a writer?
Love the most would be probably being able to create new worlds and new places and share them with other people and actually have people accept them and like what I've written. That's one of the best feelings in the world is like, hey, we really like this world you created. That's pretty cool.
No, it's not just your imaginary friends anymore. It's everybody's imaginary friends.
It's just not the voices in my head. It's
not only the voices in your
head. Well, my voices in my head are always happy.
But the rest of us can hear them.
But now everybody else can hear them and make up their own voices in their heads to go with them. So even my mom has started making up voices to go with the different characters, which scares me a little bit. We may have to put her in a home.
What are some of the things that you have liked the least about being a writer that are...
Least likable things are probably rewrites and edits. Mm-hmm. I am not a great editor. I tend to get caught up in the storyline and forget to go, oh yeah, I spelt that wrong. Or yeah, that's the wrong word. How did that get in there? I know what I meant. But yeah, especially when it comes time for galley proofs, which is the last edit before it goes to the printer. because usually you get the entire book and they say you have a week. And here's all the stuff, and we're not going to tell you what we changed. You read through it and figure it out, and if anything's not right, you change it. So, yeah, that gets a bit hectic, and it's like, and especially if you notice something big has changed.
What have you done to my book?
You just go nuts, and it's like, oh, that's wrong, you can't have... You're there with your red pen scribbling out things, and want to call the editor and yell at him, and it's like, oh, wait. Oh, she was right. Hey. Now how do I take all that red ink off that page? So yeah, the edits can be hectic at the best of times, but when you get down to the galley proof time, it is crunch time, and you really better buckle down and do the work.
And not have anything else going on that week.
Nothing else happens that week.
A week? 1 week?
Typically, you get the galley proofs a week to 10 days. And, you know, so if you're going to write a really long novel, like 1,000 pages, okay, be careful because you get a week or 10 days to read through the whole thing and make sure everything's right before you have to send it back and it goes to the printer. So you might want to start with short stories.
My novel.
Let's see, there's 600 pages now. Okay, I can make that 300. Good to go.
Well, do you have any advice for other writers trying to start their careers?
The best advice for writers in general, somebody gave to me once, and I think it's the best piece of advice I've ever gotten, is write for yourself first. And then everything else is just extra. Because you're the one who has to be happy with the story when it's done. You're the one who has to create it all and do it all. So if you're not happy with it and you don't like it, readers aren't going to like it either. So write for yourself and, you know, keep trying. Never stop.
That is good advice. What are your goals for the future right now for your writing?
Oh, dear. Immediate goals would be to get the third book of the Adventurers Wanted series published. Cross my fingers. They're looking at it now. I also have a couple of other books that are between 50 and 75% completed that I'm going to need to find either a publisher or an agent to try and get those published as well. So I'm hoping to continue the Adventurers Wanted series and have either one or two standalone or maybe a trilogy going here in the next year or so.
Very good stuff. Well, anyone who comments on this post will get entered in a drawing to win the first Adventurers Wanted novel, a signed copy. So leave your comments below, and thank you for listening, and thank you very much, Mark, for joining us. And this has been Writing Snippets.
Thank you for having me.
Yay.
No words were harmed in the making of this podcast. Go to www.writingsnippets.com for more podcasts.